Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Rennie and Marina McLean. I'll tell you, I just started reading their book. I grabbed hold of it. I could not put it down. It's Rennie's latest book, Eternity Invading Time. Eternity is the realm God is in. So it's like God invading time. Time is the realm that we're in. It's a very temporary realm. As I like to say, blink your eye one time, and that's your life compared to the realm of eternity that has no ending, no beginning, no ending. But if we can grasp the difference of these two realms, now you see, Rennie has been to heaven, and he's explaining the insights he obtained there, and the gifting in his life is to teach these things. If you can master this, and you're going to be getting insight in a supernatural fashion, not so much a logical fashion, in a supernatural spirit-to-spirit fashion, there's a very unusual show, but I want you to get to know Rennie. But if you can master this, you can move in the promises of the Bible involving faith. If you can't, you'll just be plain religious. There's no more time to be plain religious. You must walk in the currency of heaven, which is called faith. Rennie, yes, you were a young child. What, 9 years old?
Seven.
7 years old, seven. That's even younger.
Yes.
Did Jesus come into your bedroom? Tell me what happened.
When I was 7 years of age, the first time the Lord came to me, I was 7 years of age, and I was praying like most kids would pray, you know, thank you, Lord, for today, thank you for life, bless mommy, bless daddy, hallelujah, jubilee, amen, and go to bed.
And religious.
Yeah, you better believe it.
But you were a kid, too.
I was a kid, too.
I'll give you a little grace.
That's right. And I'll not forget, I went to bed. I pulled the covers over my face. And then all of a sudden, a light came in my room, a supernatural light. And it was the presence of the glory of God. And I was really afraid. But I took the sheets off my face. And there at the end of my bed was Jesus. And there was two angelic beings by his side. And he stood there and he looked at me and he smiled at me. And he said to me, I'm going to show you who you are and what you're to be. And when he said that...
Wait a second. How afraid were you? You're just a kid.
I was afraid. I'm going to back up. I was afraid, but yet not afraid. In that when the Lord introduces himself, no matter what you see, as awesome as it is, but he resonates peace. And when something is not of God, you're not at peace.
Now, all of us are chosen.
Yes.
But some of us have very specific destinies. That's what that's telling me about you. There was a very specific call on your life. Mm-hmm. What did he say to you?
The Lord said to me that you will bring the knowledge of my... you'll bring the knowledge of my glory to your generation, and you'll raise up people in the power of the Spirit to shake this nation. And that was at the time when I was in England, but I realized it's global, you know. And I'll never forget when the Lord said that to me. He said to me, let me show you the world. And when he said that, the four corners of the room fell out, and I was not in my room. Just as you see me sitting here before you, I was not in my room. I was standing before the throne of God. And he said to me, now let me show you the world. And when he said, let me show you the world, a globe came out of his mouth and stood suspended in midair. And he said to me, this is where you'll go. And I saw like it were the stars of heaven literally just go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And they would stand over the places that I would go on the earth to minister. And I realized that, you know, I've been to now over 60 countries in 30 years, and I've never been any place by accident. It's always been by an assignment. And we've always been there, you know, the Lord Jesus us a lot, you know, to bring miracles, signs, and wonders. But our emphasis now is to raise up people with the knowledge of the Spirit. Because one of the things I say to people, see, if you don't have a knowledge of the Spirit, you'll never understand that in the Spirit there is no time. So the problem today that we have is that we are educated to a time dimension. And to us, all fact and all reality consists of what we see in this time dimension.
So are you saying to me that we have to do what Jesus said. We have to become like a little child and start over.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I think that part of the reason why I think the Lord did that with me was I think if I was older, it would have had to have been more drastic. I think the reason why the Lord did that with me was because I was a child, and a child is open. And a child, in most cases, to some extent, doesn't question it. And I didn't question it.
Well, when did you start walking in miracles, real miracles?
I was, first of all, let me give you a quick synopsis. I was raised pretty much seeing miracles. I grew up under the influence of Morris Cirillo, T.L. Osborne, A.A. Allen, bless his heart. So I pretty much knew the God of the Bible with miracles. So the supernatural, you know, you're the product of your environment. So for me, miracles were not an issue. I believed in them. So
The supernatural was natural.
The supernatural was natural to me. It wasn't strange. It wasn't an event. It was natural to me. Hmm. But the Lord first started using me in miracles from the time I was around 10.
10?
From when I was 10.
Tell me the first you can remember.
Well, the first miracles I clearly remember seeing was a woman in our church who was dying of cancer. And I remember laying hands, and in childlike faith, I would say, cancer, die, dissolve. I can still remember as if it were yesterday. I say, cancer, die, dissolve, dissipate. And, you know, needless to say, the woman was cured. And
what effect did it have on you when you saw that, as a young child, a miracle took place when you spoke?
All miracles increase your expectation of God. My faith grew.
So I'm going to tell you what. I believe we're going to see miracles on this show. Do you need a miracle?
Amen.
Don't go away. I'll be right back after this word. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Rennie and Marina McLean. Rennie,
yes,
you have an unusual background. Your father is Jewish.
My father's Jamaican.
Jamaican, and your mother is Jewish.
Yes.
That, according to the rabbis, makes you Jewish. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you have this unusual background. You're just a young child, and Jesus comes into your room. He says, I've assigned the world to you. Mm-hmm. He showed you places that you will go throughout your lifetime.
Yes, he did.
But he said other things to you. Tell me a few more things.
One of the primary things the Lord said to me was this. He said to me, Rennie, this is my world. He said, your world is what comes out of your mouth. And he said, I want you to now reach your world.
That's powerful.
It changed. Well, I was only a boy, so you know if it hits you as an adult, you can imagine how it hit me as a child.
Now, what effect did it have as a young child having a visitation from Jesus, walking in miracles?
Yes.
What was your life like?
My life was... It was odd.
Were you sort of a prodigal, or did you try to walk a holy life?
No, I always walked a holy life. I was, I can say this as a great testimony. This dear lady who I'm married to, I met her when I was 18. And I'm not saying how long ago that was, but that's a long time ago. We met each other when we were 17 and 18, and she's the only woman I've been with. So I've lived pure. I'd never gone with another woman or, you know, gone anything like that.
Now, Marina, I have a question for you. I understand that your background was the opposite of his. Mm-hmm. Nothing real emotional, supernatural, anything. And his is real Pentecostal type of background.
Yeah.
How in the world did the two of you get together?
We got together through our church doing a youth choir, getting all the youth group together. We were in a league of seven churches and did seven different Pentecostal churches. Mine church, we spoke about the Holy Spirit. Nobody spoke in tongues. We never saw miracles. He always teased our church that we knew the presence of God. We just didn't know what to do
with
it.
So why did you hitch up with him?
Well,
she wanted to get to heaven.
I've grown up in church, a PK. Don't hold that against me. But he spoke about a God that I knew, but he spoke about God like he was his best friend. And somehow that just pulled on my heart. As a teenager, I've always loved the Word. And so when I met Rennie, like many people do now, you want to ask him questions. I did that. When we couldn't call it dating because I walked with a notepad and pen. Because I had questions that suddenly a person could answer. And he did.
That's the way I feel when I read his book.
Yes.
Same way.
See, a lot of people, they call, that have read the first one, they have questions. And I totally understand that. Because there are things that you have in you, you don't have a way to express it. And suddenly you meet somebody who, oh my goodness, that's the way I should say it. That's what the words I've been looking for. And so that's how we met. And from we've met, the supernatural part of your environment, I've always been hungry for God. I mean, both our mothers took us to Morris Rowland meetings. When we started talking, we went to different places very similar. And just had a love for miracles. The first miracle I saw was at a Morris Rowland meeting. I left my mother's side and went and stood in the front row so I could see it for myself. Went back and gave the testimony at church, and church was quiet because they forgot to tell me that they believed in miracles. They just didn't believe it could happen here. Plus, it was a wind of doctrine, which I had no idea.
So tell me, why doesn't it happen here, meaning in most churches, Rennie? You've been on the other side.
Yes.
You have seen miracles on this side.
Yes.
Why?
That's in my book. That's why I said people got to get it. You know, because
that's not fair. I want you briefly. Come on.
Okay. I'm going to give capsulize four thoughts. It's going to answer everything. Number one, why do we not see miracles? Number one, the church has not learned how to court the Lord. They've not learned to court the Lord. When we do praise, when we do praise and worship. Through praise and worship, you court the Lord. And at times in the church, we don't rest. That's one issue. We don't court the Lord. In other words, we don't go far enough into our worship where things just manifest.
Actually, going the other way.
It's going
totally
the other way.
And that is because they want to get out by a certain time.
Totally.
So they have to cut something, and the worship is the easiest thing to cut.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But see, what's interesting is, see, they're cutting out the most essential part of the service, because we teach this principle. God inhales our worship, but He exhales the glory. And the issue today in most churches is we've not given God anything to inhale. So there's not much glory coming forth. That's number two. The third question would be is this. The reason why in Africa and Asia and those countries, the reason why you see so many miracles there is because they already believe in the realm of the Spirit. In the West, we're highly intellectual. And almost every preacher on Sunday morning, when he's preaching, he's basically preaching to educated unbelief. So you have
That's
to
a
almost...
That's a powerful combination,
yes,
educated unbelief.
Yes. So you almost have to unlearn what you've learned, because unbelief is the product of the tree you're eating from. It exposes you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if that be the case, the church needs to change the tree.
Marina. Worship is very important.
Yes.
Why?
Worship is the beginning of intimacy. And Rennie talked about courting the Lord. That's how you court the Lord, is in worship. And the most significant key is that worship is your expression. I love David, King David. And, you know, the Bible talks about rebuilding David's tabernacle. David was spontaneous. You know, he watched a deer and compared himself to the deer, hungering and thirsting after God. There are things in our spirit man that until we express it, we talk about put your voice print. A lot of churches don't know how to respond to God right now. You respond to God in worship
Very
and through
true.
Worship.
Rennie, I have a quick question for you connected with this worship.
Yes.
I've been to Benny Hinn meetings or seen them on TV, both.
Yes.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the miracles transpire in his ministry because of that magnificent worship. Is that what you...
Let me say to you like this. In answering to your question, very simply, yes. Because worship brings the glory. So what you're seeing then in the manifestation of God's presence, it's not so much a gifting as it is more the presence of God.
Yes.
And the
which is what is going to
which
happen.
Which is what's going to happen, see.
This is going to happen when we come back. Don't go away.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Rennie and Marina McLean. And Rennie and Marina, there is such an awesome, and I like to use that word, awesome presence of God here. And one of the things we've discussed is a courting, that was your terminology, courting God. And you're a worshiper, Marina. Would you worship God right now?
Oh, yeah.
Just no music, just worship. You don't need music.
No.
You don't even need a good voice to worship God. God
true.
Just wants a good heart.
Yes.
Good
heart.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. One of the songs that we've written for our ministry is Whatever You Ask, Whatever You Dream in the Glory, It's Already Yours. Whatever you ask, whatever you dream, in the glory, it's already yours. Whatever you ask, whatever you dream, in the glory, it's already yours. All you have to do is open your heart. All you have to do is give him your voice. All you have to do is lay it down, for in the glory, yes, in the glory, it's already yours.
I want you to see some people that are in the glory as Rennie is speaking that received miracles. It's already yours. Let's go to that clip.
I usually have pain in my abdomen, and like I've been told by doctors, you know, that I might have endometriosis and that I might not be able to have kids. I don't know, but it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Do you know it's gone?
It's gone.
Do you feel it there now? What do we do when God does something? Amen. 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 Go and give Him praise. What's all done for you?
My eyes has been messed up for
your
years.
Eyes?
Yes.
Amen.
So, but today, God has dealt
praise
with
God. The Lord has healed praise these eyes. What do we do when God heals somebody's eyes?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless you. What's the Lord done for you, sister?
I had a problem for a long time with my hearing. And you know, I can hear people talking, but sometimes it just be Lord.
Yes.
But when you told me where my condition was, I put in my ears, and it like a burning sensation was going both of them around, all wrapped all the way around my ear. And then when I opened up, took my hands from out my ears, your voice was so loud, it was like it was on the microphone.
You're getting me Pentecostal now.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
I had been diagnosed with a cyst, and when I laid hands on my side, I could feel a warmth go through my body.
Amen.
And I know by the power of God, I have been
push
healed.
The cyst. Where was it? It's gone?
It's gone, yes. Praise God.
Amen.
I was nearsighted.
Huh?
I was nearsighted.
You was nearsighted?
Yes.
Now, can I ask you this question? Is this really America? It's not Africa. All right. Okay, come on. You know the reason why? Because people say this doesn't happen in America. It does. It's the same God. That's all done for you.
I see clear as day now. I see everything.
God's healed your eyes.
I see everything.
So many eyes have been healed. Praise God. Amen.
Rennie, what has God got for our viewers right now?
God has a miracle for you right about now. Your faith is high. Hear me. When reason is absent, faith is present. God is here and now. Put your hands on your sickness. And as I speak to your sickness is going to begin to die and leave. We've seen thousands of miracles. We can't even go into them. And we can tell you that same God is here now. And that power is coming to you today, right now. In Jesus' name, I see a woman right now. I see a lump on your breast. Excuse me, on your chest. I see the lump shrinking right about now. I see miracles taking place right about now. Let me speak the word now to every one of you right now. In the name of Jesus, I disfellowship the spirit of infirmity from your body now. In Jesus' name, come out of these people. Loose them and let them go.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Now, faith is an act. In Jesus' name, begin to push your growth down. Begin to look where the lump was. Begin to look where the cancer was. Begin to look. In Jesus' name right now, there are leg conditions right now being healed. I just saw somebody right now that had an operation on their hip and you're in a wheelchair and you've been unable to walk and you felt something go down your spine. In Jesus' name right now, tissues are being mended right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, be made whole. Now prove your faith. Rise.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you couldn't hear, hear. If you couldn't see, in fact, several people right now, you had, diabetics and you were unable to see. And as a sign that your diabetes is healed,
thank
your
you,
sight
Jesus.
Returns now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Right where you are, just begin to give him praise,
you,
honor, and glory. People's teeth are being healed right about now. I see an abscess right now. Being healed.
Rennie, we're in the glory realm right now. We
yes,
are
we
in
are.
That realm.
Yes, it is.
If people have not heard their condition, what should
yes,
they do?
Right. God, well, if they've not heard their condition.
You haven't had a specific word.
Okay, but God has it. And what they have to do right now is lift their hands up.
Thank you, Jesus.
And say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Take it.
Thank
and
you,
then
Jesus.
Demonstrate their faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Demonstrate your faith. Pain is not an evidence that you're always sick. When your tooth is pulled when you go to the dentist, your gum is sore and in pain. But you're not in pain because the tooth is there. You're in pain because the tooth is out. Because the Bible says when an unclean spirit leaves the people at times, the Bible says the last thing the spirit does is it rents their body. So one of the signals of you being healed is that thing is being uprooted. And that thing is, in fact, I still feel it taking place as we're talking.
You know what? There's such wisdom Ooh. Of the invisible realm right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take it. It's yours.
Yes.
It's yours.
Jesus.
Just grab it by faith. It's not a feeling. It's
Amen.
By faith.
Yes.
It's already happened. You're healed.
Yes.
It's eternity is invading time.
Yes, it is. Amen.